Entertainment is good fun, but your pastor shouldn't be a stand-up comic, and church is not a nightclub. In worship, we meet a holy God face-to-face, in Christ, in His gospel. Escondido United Reformed Church is committed to reverent, joyful worship every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 760-745-1679, eurc.org, 760-745-1679, eurc.org. Proclaiming the good news to a needy world. This is Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon.
Thankful, dear listener, you've tuned in today to Abounding Grace Radio. We have another exciting week of programs planned for you as we go back to God's Word and look at the wonderful truths of the gospel, the good news of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We've been studying a few different series here throughout the course of a week on Abounding Grace, Exodus, and 1 Corinthians, such rich books that give us an entire perspective of God's sovereignty, His power, what the church should be, His deliverance. It's the whole gospel as we look at these books. That's the design as we study. God's word is to see the big picture, the truth of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Thanks for tuning in today to Abounding Grace Radio. As always, we want to invite you to go onto the web at agradio.org. Web address is agradio.org. So thankful for your support. Many of you do write into us. You support the program. I want to express our gratitude on behalf of our board at Abounding Grace Radio that you do that. There's a way there to download the programs free of charge. I say all of that is free. There's maps to churches in your areas. There's ways to support us there online. Resources there for you to grow in your faith. Visit us on the web and connect with us on Facebook. We have a Facebook page. You can download apps for your smartphones there. So that you can take Abounding Grace with you wherever you go. Grateful to all of our listeners again. Well, today on Abounding Grace, we're going to the book of 1 Corinthians and looking at this great teaching of the Apostle Paul on love. It generally is ripped out of context and usually given in marriages and weddings. Everyone focuses on love. It's interesting where this particularly comes in Paul's teaching on gifts and the issue of tongue speaking. We can learn a lot about this today, and that's what we're going to tackle, that Paul calls us here under the inspiration of the Spirit to pursue the gift that is permanent, God's gift to the church, His great gift of love. Something I need to learn, something you need to learn. It's something that God put in place so that we, everyone would look at us and know that we belong to Christ by the love that we have for one another. So here is that message now from 1 Corinthians chapter 13. The greatest of these is love.
I'm sure most of you have heard sermons on the book of Revelation and the churches in Revelation. And that first church has always stood out to me that the Lord addressed when He was walking among His lampstands, His churches. That was the church in Ephesus. And that church was a remarkable church and such an interesting church, but a startling church, because the Lord's indictment against that church was that it had left its first love. What was encouraging about that church was its doctrinal commitment, was its conviction about the truth. I mean, really, a great commendation is given to the church in Ephesus that they fought against the doctrine of the Nicolaitans. And the Lord says, I hate that doctrine. I am really happy with you. But you guys fought against that. You stood against that. You were willing, in a culture that doesn't stand for much at all, you were willing to fight against the doctrine of the Nicolaitans when many churches were compromising. And that I commend you. Remarkable. A church committed to the truth. How could you stand for the truth on one hand, and then leave your first love on the other. That's always startled me. That's always perplexed me. That's why I don't think it would be right to say that this church left Christ. Some have tried to apply it by saying that they left their first love, they left Jesus. I don't believe they left Jesus. The problem is remarkably similar to the problem in Corinth, isn't it? It was similar that their works and their service in the life of the kingdom were not driven by love. And Christ looked at the church in Ephesus and said, listen, you need to repent and you need to go back and you need to do the first works. What was the church like when it started? Well, you know, there's a lot of excitement when a church starts. There's a lot of desire to help people when church starts. There's a real eagerness when visitors walk in when a church starts. There's works that are motivated by sincere love when a church newly is formed. But then as time goes, it dwindles and a church turns inward and they fight. That's the path that typically happens. It's sad. Well, in that vein, you see how it ties together with Corinth. I don't need to rehearse all the problems. I have been rehearsing a lot of problems. I understand you, and I trust you understand the problems now in Corinth. You know what they were, but it's so important to understand that this beautiful treatment of love, this wonderful teaching on love, which we haven't taught enough, this wonderful teaching on love comes in the midst of Paul's teaching on gifts, and that is so important. What that means is that the church in Corinth, in their use of the gifts, they were not using their gifts in love. And I made the case that this problem last time is really what's driving all the problems in Corinth. This single gift, this single great gift that got all the intention in Corinth was what? Tongues. Tongues. And Paul, at the end of chapter 12, said, I've got a more excellent way than your tongue speakers. Which is really remarkable, isn't it? Here's your problem, he said, dear brothers and sisters in Corinth. Let me help you to see it. As a matter of fact, let me be a little bit extreme for a moment. If you had the greatest voice ever in the ministry, I went through this last time, the greatest voice, if you had Golden Mouth Chrysostom's voice, and you could speak with the tongue of angels. Or imagine if you had the greatest mind ever. You could retain the most in that mind. You're sheerly brilliant. Or you're the greatest giver. You're even willing. You have enough strength in you to put your body into the fire if you were asked to be a martyr. Greatest voice. I mean, think about that. The greatest voice, the greatest mind, and the greatest giver, if you have not love, all of that profits nothing. Everything you do, said Paul, has to be controlled by this. And he went into love, what it is. Love is patient and kind. They're just so beautiful. I would love to go through them again, but I won't. It doesn't keep a record. It's forbearing. It doesn't go to battle with people. Listen, not looking for that. God taught you love. God showed you love. Now, we looked at that here, what he wanted to impress upon them. I believe that if you could correct this problem in the church in Corinth, and motivate a sincere and genuine pursuit of love in the members in Corinth, all the problems that we've been studying now for 13 long chapters would go away. What does Paul do at this point? Well, if you have one gift that's dominating their interests, what does he say? I now have shown you the more excellent way. The more excellent way for you is love. But here's why this gift is worth pursuing. Let me tell you why this gift is so worth pursuing. Let me really motivate you to love. We know it ultimately motivates us to love. It's the love of Christ. That's what we unpacked last time. God has taught us to love. But in this passage, Paul is using two things to tell us that and motivate love. He says two things tonight. He says it is God's greatest gift to his church. You say, really? I'll come back to that. And love is the only permanent gift. It's permanence that drives this section to motivate you to give to love. It gives a real incentive to love. It gives you real motivation to love. What you are giving value to was designed to cease, says Paul. You guys are caught up in all the show. You guys are caught up in the tongues. That was all designed to stop. That was only short-lived. But let me tell you something. Love will go on forever. I want us to think about that tonight for a moment. I think it's such a powerful argument. When you think about what you're doing in the life of the kingdom, do you want to do something that matters? Do you want to do something that has eternal value? When you see a church without love, what do you see? You see a church that's going nowhere. You see a church that's lost sight of the bigger picture. You see a church that understands no longer what the goal of ministry is. That's the sad consequence of a church without love. And that was Corinth's problem. They no longer knew who they were. They no longer knew what the ministry was about. They no longer knew their goals. They had left their first love. So Paul calls them to pursue this one gift from Christ that is permanent. Let's look at this. The first thing Paul does is answer the problem of what's been dominating them. Since chapter 12, he addressed the single great issue, namely that a certain gift was designed to stop at some point. And that's been where all their interest lies. That's where all their fascination lied. That's where all, they were so intrigued with this. Well, that's verse 8. Paul says something that's so important to his main point. He says, love never ends. We're going to come back to that. Agape love, and we distinguished what that is last time, sacrificial love, the love that's shown to us in the cross, the love that's shown to us by Christ, never falls down. That's what the verb means. Never. It has a permanent quality. Now, before we unpack that and look at that and conclude with that tonight, Paul basically says, you're stuck in what is temporary. There are things that fall over. There are things that end. There are priorities in the ministry. Oh, that's such a big principle for the Apostle Paul. He was an apostle of priority. He understood priorities. He knew what to fight about. He knew what not to fight about. He knew what to make a conscience issue. He knew what not to make a conscience issue over. Balanced. Beautiful. But priority is what he's going after here. Priority in the ministry. And so he says in verse 8, as for prophecies, they will pass away. As for tongues, they will cease. As for knowledge, it will pass away. For we know in part and we prophesy in part, but when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. I used to be so puzzled over those verses, and I always would sit and read them. I don't understand that. And you really see the value of going through a book. It really has opened up to us now, isn't it? It only makes sense when you understand Paul's answer to the question about tongues. Why do I say that? I want you to look very carefully at those verses again with me. He mentions three gifts here: prophecies, knowledge, and tongues. Tongues is what he's going after right now. Notice what he does. As for prophecies, they will pass away. As for knowledge, it will, same verb, pass away. As for tongues, they'll cease. Totally different verb. He chose the same verb for prophecies and knowledge, but a different verb for tongues. It's really fascinating here. Knowledge will pass away. Prophecies will pass away. What that means is that at some point they will simply be done away with. Something will bring them to an end. Now you understand this. When I was in school years ago as a child, I used to beg my parents to get me a little Walkman. Anybody know what Walkmen are anymore? A Walkman with a little tape. And I thought that was just great when I got that. For some of you, it was an 8-track. I don't know what that was, but I remember hearing a lot about it. And for some of you, you're so old, it was a record. Well, my kids come to me today. Are they asking me for any of those? They're asking me for MP3 players. They're asking me for phones, which I said no. You see, something better has come. In all those circumstances, something better has come. And immediately it brought the others to an end, didn't it? Once you're selling CDs, you're no longer selling cassette tapes. Well, that's what is the emphasis here. Something is going to come that brings to an end knowledge and prophecies that is so much better. You don't need it anymore. But that's not what he said for tongues. For tongues, he says, they will stop. Like a battery. It just runs out. Once the juice is out, you throw it away. It's exactly the sense. Now, this is really important. 1 Corinthians 13, 9 through 10. For we know in part and we prophesy in part. Notice he just linked that together. We know and we prophesy in part. But when the perfect comes, the partial will pass away. What did he link together? Knowledge and prophecy. He didn't talk about tongues. We know in part and we prophesy in part. That will pass away when the perfect comes. Tongues at some point was just designed to stop. But these would pass away when the perfect comes. What's the perfect? Well, there have been a few ideas in the history of the church. I would love to tell you tonight it's the canon. Love to say it's the word of God when it was completed and handed. But that just doesn't work. They wouldn't have had any concept of that in Corinth. I believe, and I think most commentators accept, that this has everything to do with what we understand by perfect. What do you understand by perfect? What are you looking for? You're looking for the perfect to come. You're looking for Christ to return in glory and make everything perfect. You're looking for the state of glorification. You're waiting for that. You're looking for that. At least that's what we're taught to look for, right? There's a time when the ministry stops, he's saying. There's a time when the ministry, actually the verb would be better here, the time when the ministry is done away with. Why? Because Christ has come. It will pass away. You don't need the ministry anymore. There's a night coming when no man would work, Jesus says. Now, the thought of that should evoke the question, what am I doing here in the church? What are we doing in the church? If we're all caught up in our energies in the wrong things, think of Corinth, you've forgotten the bigger goal and picture. You're focused on all the wrong stuff in the ministry. One of the most moving endings to a movie I ever saw was the end of Schindler's List. I don't know if that's exactly how it went or not, but Spielberg, at the end of that movie, I was in tears. And every time I watch it, I'm in tears. You know why? Hard movie to watch. But when Oscar Schindler rescued all the Jews, and he bought them, the end of the movie, he is weeping uncontrollably because he says, basically what he said at the end of it was, I could have bought more. My priorities were so wrong along the way. And all these Jews were standing there saying, no, we're here. But he says, I could have bought more. I was focused too much on this and things, and I didn't give it to this. And I've always thought that somewhat captures the bigger picture in the ministry I always have to keep in front of me. This is about the salvation of people. And if I forget that, what happens? It's tragic that a church can leave its love, isn't it? When there's no love, what do you get? You get Corinth. Remember? Factions, hero worship, valuing of all the things that the world values, obsession with knowledge and speaking abilities and divisions and fighting and separations and arguments over disputes over words, people pushing their agendas. This is what begins to dominate church life when there's no love. You ever seen that? It's no longer functioning as a church should function. It's forgotten its purpose. It's forgotten its mission. It's forgotten the reason it exists. And then it's no longer about salvation of people. The whole section, then, is moving us to set priorities right in the church. When you look at a church that's not operating well, when you look at a church that's a mess and not moving forward, you're going to see a church caught up in all the wrong priorities and the things that don't move you forward to the ultimate goal. What is Paul have in mind here? Tongues. You guys are caught up in the show. You guys are caught up in the ecstasy. You want entertainment and enthusiasm, but you don't understand. That gift was designed like a battery to stop. Its very thing, and this is what the general testimony is of the church, it died when the apostles died. That gift ceased. That gift stopped. That's the universal witness of the early church, by the way. Origen, the early church father, said to Celsus, the sign gifts were temporary and not exercised by the Christians of his day. Chrysostom states that tongues not only had ceased, but could not be accurately defined. Augustine, in the earliest times, the Holy Spirit fell on them that believed and they spoke with tongues. These were signs adapted to that time. That thing was done. Or it passed away. And yet we've got a whole charismatic movement caught up in it today. It stopped. It ceased. The battery went out. It served its purpose. So you hear what Paul's saying, and you see the application now to us. You're caught up in things that were designed to pass away, and you think it's the be-all and the end-all of ministry. Look at the contemporary church. Look at the challenges that we face. We're so caught up in what's temporary, thinking that if we just have all these great sign gifts. Let me ask you a question. For all the emphasis that's been given in our day on healings and miracles, for all the people that are healed, are they still going to die? Yeah. So they're caught up in something temporary that is not answered and provided the ultimate solution. Their bodies are still going in the grave. Nobody has stopped that but Jesus alone. So that what Paul's doing here, and this is the challenge today, look at a ministry. Luther used to say a ministry is either focused on a theology of the cross or a theology of glory. The theology of glory is all about the temporary and the excitement in the moment now, the glory now. That's Corinth's problem. It's the theology of glory. It's the message that's not focused on a life of suffering, then glory. It's the message of Osteen. It's the message of have your best life now. Live it up now. Those are the enthusiasts. The cross is a way of denial. The cross is a way of suffering. Paul's point is, are we pursuing what has eternal value? never looking at the gifts and thinking it's all about the performer. And remember what Paul's been saying. Gifts that God gave are not for your glory. Your gifts are not for you. Your gifts are for the person next to you. Your gifts are for somebody else to be a blessing to and help. When it becomes about you, when it becomes about people, when it becomes about this temporary fix of a high, it's no longer done in love. That's Paul's point. It's lost love is the motivation. If it's a showcase of the speaker and knowledge and giving, it's no longer love.
Thank you for listening to Abounding Grace Radio with Pastor Chris Gordon. Call us toll free at 888-504-8805. That's 888-504-8805. Contact us through the web at agradio.org. That's agradio.org. We're on Facebook. Look for Abounding Grace Radio Ministry. Listen daily on this station and subscribe in iTunes or use our free Android app. We trust this program has encouraged you to trust in Christ for your standing with God and to live in His abounding grace. Static, noise, that's all we hear, or so it seems. Where would you go? What would you pay to hear the truth? Good news, it's free and nearby. The Bible is God's truth. At the Escondido United Reformed Church, Chris Gordon preaches Christ the truth from God's Word every Sunday, 9:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Escondido United Reformed Church, 1864 North Broadway, 760-745-1679, EURC.org.